Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. If you ever can't be with us live, don't forget to check us out as a podcast available on Apple Podcasts. And really, any place you listen to podcasts, all you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. But glad to have you. We head into a weekend. We head into a big IU football game on the road at Wisconsin. The college basketball season is fully underway. High school hoops, the boys' and girls' seasons obviously underway, and the boys' season, at least for some of our local teams, because of COVID and other scheduling issues, just haven't started the year yet. We'll get to see one of those teams tonight. In fact, I'll be on the road to Castle later this evening for a 7 o'clock Eastern time varsity-only game. So we'll be on the air tonight at 6:40, have the full play-by-play story from that contest. Looking forward to seeing the Highlanders for the first time this season. Should be a good matchup. Castle, always a strong program. Had a little bit of a down year last year. I think they were winners of 12 games last season. Of course, we know the unbelievable year that Floyd Central had a season ago, winning a sectional championship. But Castle has a lot of returning players. We know Floyd's returning players. Should be a good one. And again, looking forward to being in a gym tonight. It's going to be limited capacity there, so if you're a fan of the Highlanders or a fan of just Southern Indiana basketball in general and you can't make it, make sure you tune us in. Again, we'll be on the air from the Evansville area tonight down in Newburgh at about 6:40 with our pregame coverage. Let's take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We got some basketball stuff to get to. IU's got more information out as of yesterday afternoon about some of its TV times, tip times as well for some of the upcoming games all the way through the end of the year and really the non-conference schedule in the first few Big Ten games as well. Some football stuff, some pretty interesting stuff on the game this weekend, and Tom Allen appearing on Coach K of Duke's radio show earlier this week. And so we'll tell you about that when we get into that segment coming up here in just a few moments. Also, later in the show on Fridays, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana joins the program. We'll get into IU Wisconsin in detail for tomorrow. We'll talk about some of the storylines surrounding the game, and we'll get Dylan's thoughts on where Indiana basketball is at after a 2-1 performance at the Maui Invitational in Asheville. And, of course, IU has a 3-1 record as they get ready for their next game, which is Wednesday against Florida State, so we'll talk that as well. There's some other things going on with IU basketball, obviously, as we get into this season, and we'll cover everything with Dylan coming up in segment two today. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He's always with us on Fridays. We'll talk some high school basketball, some recruiting. Deontay Davis at Warren Central, used to be at Lawrence Central. His dad got the Warren Central job over the summer. He is set to make his college announcement on Saturday evening. Indiana's on the list. They are in the mix, but they are not expected to land Davis, I do not believe. But we'll get Kyle's opinion on where exactly Deontay Davis may go. Of course, he's the younger brother of DeAndre, who is having a nice start to the season for the University of Louisville. But Kyle will be with us later. We'll cover a lot of topics with him and take a look around the state as well. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A reminder, haven't done this for a few days, maybe a few weeks. Love to hear from you, your questions, your comments, your topics on what we're covering or what you would like us to cover on the program. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter, and you can email the show. The address is HoosierReport@gmail.com. All right, headlines today. Yesterday, we got an email from IU. It's been publicized now. You may have seen it, but they have released the TV designations for IU schedule at least through the end of the year. So we now know some details of when the Hoosiers will play and what television station the games will be on. So the Florida State game, it's going to be a primetime game, you could call it. 9:15 is the tip next Wednesday when Indiana travels to Florida State. By the way, Florida State has not played a game yet. We mentioned that yesterday with Alex Bozich. That Florida State game we know will be on ESPN2. After that, a week from Sunday, it's North Alabama. That's the only other cupcake game on the schedule. Tennessee Tech already in the books, North Alabama. And after that, it's tough stuff all the way through the early part of March into the Big Ten tournament. And, of course, you hope the NCAA tournament. But the North Alabama game, it's a noon tip. I like those noon tips on Sunday. It'll be on the Big Ten Network. The Butler game on December 19th, part of the Crossroads Classic. It'll be on Fox Sports 1. That's a Saturday game, 11:30 a.m., the tip-off in that doubleheader. So Indiana has the first tip of the two games in that event. Then the Big Ten play opens after that. That's crazy to think about. At Florida State, North Alabama at home, Butler in Indianapolis, three more games, and it's Big Ten play the rest of the way. Northwestern starts Big Ten play on December 23rd, a Wednesday. It's an 8:30 tip on Big Ten Network. Then Saturday, we get a look at Illinois. It's going to be a tough one early on. For it. Every game of the Big Ten is going to be tough. I think that goes without saying. But at Illinois, a 4 p.m. tip-off on Fox Sports 1, December 26th is that game. And then Indiana will close out the 2020 portion of the schedule, December 30th, a Wednesday game, a home game in Bloomington. Penn State comes to town, 8:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. And then after that, you look at the start of the year for IU, just thinking ahead about the schedule for a moment while we have time. Maryland at home, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, Purdue, at Michigan State, at Iowa. That takes you from January 4th to January 21st. That's quite a run of games against pretty good competition, pretty top-tier competition in the Big Ten Conference during that stretch. So the month of January, it's an active one for IU. It's going to be a busy month for the conference across the board. And in Indiana, we will know a lot about this team by the end of December. We'll know even more about this team, I think, through mid-January as far as what they are made of and what the possibilities are on the NCAA tournament and beyond for this team this season. And speaking of college basketball, just a reminder that this COVID thing can shut down anybody. We saw the first local team as far as Division I powerhouses, Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, here in our region, get shut down. Louisville, it's got to pause things. They've got some positive COVID-19 tests within the program. And again, they're going to have to cancel their game against UNC Greensboro, which was the conclusion of their multiple-team event that they've been staging at the Yum Center and at Louisville. Pretty good setup to try to keep everyone safe there. But again, a positive case with Louisville, so they will shut down at least temporarily. And you just hope that it doesn't affect things with Indiana. You hope it doesn't affect things in the Big Ten Conference, because in really a week and a half or maybe 2 weeks, depending on the school, we will be in conference play or getting ready for conference play, and you'd like to see that go as smoothly as possible. When you think about the Big Ten Conference, as far as all the daily antigen testing and daily rapid testing they are doing, all the protocols that are in place, the referees that are going to be a pool of referees that only do Big Ten games this season, obviously you feel better about it than I do Indiana going to the Maui Invitational. You don't know the protocols for the tournament. You got to believe that in this time you're going to take it pretty serious. You don't know what the other teams that were arriving at the tournament what they had been doing. And there's just the unknown is they're college kids. And yes, I know campuses look different right now, and most, if not all, stuff is virtual, but there's still contacts there. It's not like a bubble. It's not perfect. They're going to be in contacts with people various places, no matter what the coaches say or how hard they work to keep everybody in a semi-bubble. It's just going to happen. And so once you get to conference play, I think maybe I'm completely wrong, but if everyone's on the same plan, doing the same testing, all the way down to the referees that are in the game, all the support staff for each team, and the travel parties are limited, there's going to still be problems. We know that. You just hope it has maybe a better chance to be controlled than what it has to start the season. So it remains to be unseen. It's unseen what's going to happen, but let's be hopeful that maybe when we get to conference play, things will simmer down just a little bit and we can get a pretty good portion of the schedule in on time as scheduled. A couple IU football notes. The game this weekend, I think it's really one of the better college football games in the country this weekend. Indiana's 12th. Wisconsin is 16th. There are some interesting things in addition to being a big game as far as Big Ten goes and really college football as a whole this weekend. Obviously, the storyline is Jack Tuttle. We've talked about it all week. He's going to take over as the starting quarterback for this team with Michael Penix out with an ACL injury for the rest of the season. But also, you're going from Bloomington, which is cold right now, what, upper 30s, low 40s, I'm assuming, much like it is here in southern Indiana, you're going to a much different temperature this weekend, a much different environment at Wisconsin. And, of course, it's a Wisconsin team, if you're looking at some oddities here, that's only played three games this season. And we think they're pretty good. They're 2-1, but you just don't have that depth of ability to evaluate them, looking at their scores. And, of course, if you're a coach for Indiana, you're trying to break things down, scout things, and prepare. And three games tells you a lot, but it's not like having a full schedule, basically, like a team such as Indiana would have that you could scout on so far this season. So I think that's interesting, too, just the lack of games that Wisconsin has so far. So, Wisconsin, a very quality opponent from what we have seen so far this season. And I think a big challenge for Indiana with a new starting quarterback coming off the Penix injury. This is a defining game for Indiana. If Indiana goes to Wisconsin in those elements and plays strong and Tuttle mixes in and plays well, I think you got to have hope that Indiana can finish the season as they started. But if the wheels fall off and Tuttle doesn't get off to a good start, watch out. You never know how things could go the rest of the way. So a lot of eyes, at least I'll be paying more attention to this Wisconsin game as far as looking ahead for what to expect with Indiana football than what I probably have any other game so far this season. Also, another football note, I thought this was pretty cool. I did not get a chance to listen to it. I assume it's out there as a podcast or a recording somewhere. But, you know, Coach K at Duke, he's got a weekly show like most college coaches do. It's called Basketball and Beyond with Coach K. And he does the interviewing sometime. He'll have on other guests, other coaches. And, of course, Coach K does have a connection to Indiana. He was a coach for the Hoosiers, an assistant coach under Bobby Knight. And he actually joked on the program. He said, "I'm an MBA dropout from Indiana." He was in graduate school while he was at Indiana. He said, quote, "I went 1 year, was doing well, but got the head coaching job at Army." So interesting there. But good conversation with Tom Allen. And at one point he said, and I'm reading quotes from a story, he said, quote, "Hey, Tom, we've been on for about 10 minutes. I want to damn play for you." And he was very complimentary of the coach and all of their success so far this season. And really just another opportunity for Tom Allen to be out there on, I don't want to call Coach K's radio show a national program like some of the other sports talk shows that Tom Allen has been on. But it's interesting. People are seeking him out because of his motivation, because of the way his halftime and postgame speeches to the team have come across on national media. And again, all this helps with recruiting. All this helps with program building, things that Indiana football is experiencing in a very positive note right now. And again, this season, no matter what happens with Tuttle or the game at Wisconsin or the rest of the way, this season is going to be big for the future of Indiana football because they've gotten some national attention. And Tom Allen has kind of become a character in college football and a very positive character at that. And so, again, this season, no matter what happens from here, no matter what happens with bowl games, It's going to be big for Indiana as far as recruiting goes and as far as exciting things in the future. I would bet absolutely on that, no question. Couple other notes to close out the first segment. Want to give a little love to the IU women's basketball team. They were winners 71-26 over Samford last night. They had four players in double figures. And how about Grace Berger? She's originally from Southern Indiana. She played high school basketball over in Louisville. And she, at one point, I believe earlier this year or last year, had a triple-double. Someone left me a message about this yesterday. Said, give the women's team some more love. We love IU basketball. We're glad you talk IU basketball, but give the women's team more love. So a shout-out to them on a big win last night. And, again, a great start for Grace Berger, a great start for Allie Patberg, Indiana. It was their second game of the season. They are 2-0 now. And, of course, Allie Patberg from Columbus, Miss Basketball, went to Notre Dame, transferred to Indiana, and is set to have a huge season. I don't think there's any question about that coming up for the women Hoosiers this season. And they're going to be one of the favorites in the Big Ten Conference to maybe come out on top. And, of course, we'll see make a run into the NCAA tournament. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday program. Tonight, high school basketball on the Big X will be on at 6:40 with pregame coverage. It's Floyd Central at Castle in the opening game for the Highlanders. We'll have Todd Sturgeon on with us tonight in our pregame coverage. We'll get you set for the matchups beginning at 6:40 tonight. So if you can't make the game, you're not a parent, it's going to be very limited attendance, make sure you tune it in on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, and streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. We'll be back with Dylan Wallace, IU basketball, and IU football on tap. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with Dylan Wallace to talk IU basketball and some football as well in this segment. Of course, Dylan is with Sports Illustrated Indiana, and he's kind enough to join us on Fridays to help summarize the week. And Dylan, your thoughts on IU basketball? We've seen them play, four times now, three in Maui in Asheville at the Maui event. And there was plenty of good, but also some bad, specifically in that Texas game.
Yeah, it was definitely sort of a tale of kind of two performances for them in the 3 days that they were there. You know, I thought they came out against Providence and looked really, really sharp, really good. You know, we kind of heard all offseason about sort of the new sort of offense they might be running with a little more free flow to it. And I think you kind of saw that against Providence. You know, the ball didn't really get stagnant too much. They moved it a lot. But then, you know, you go to the next day and you saw sort of the same issues that we've seen the last 3 years, you know, and that was tough to see. I know a lot of people were really frustrated because it felt like, you know, you feel like, they would be past kind of performances like that, where it's just kind of mind-boggling to see that you can't put the ball in the basket, you can't do really anything right on the offensive side of the ball. You know, defensively, they at least kept them in it for a majority of that first half against Texas, but Texas did end up winning the whole – they ended up winning the whole thing. You know, they beat North Carolina at the last-second shot. So, you know, they're obviously a good team. But just the way they lost, I think, was really tough to swallow. But then, you know, you turn around and you bounce right back. And you're without Al Durham, which I thought was going to be a little bit of concern. But, you know, they handled it really well. Trey Jackson-Davis obviously was as good as promised and kind of what he needs to be for this team. So, you know, I kind of walk away, I don't know. I feel like that, you know, that Texas performance is really going to sting and it's going to linger in a lot of the back of a lot of people's minds, you know, even though they did go 2-1 at Maui, because it's just, you know, you're always going to wonder if they're going to come out and have a performance similar to that kind of going forward. So it's hard to sort of gauge, where exactly the level of play that they can hold themselves to on a daily basis. But I think you should overall, you could be pretty pleased with kind of their performance. And I think, you know, we're about to, we think get a little bit of a break off, but, you know, Florida State's coming up with that next game. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they're able to do. Hopefully they get Al Durham back. I know they've missed Joey Brunk a little bit too in terms of just size and physicality up front. So, you know, it's going to be fun to kind of see how they adjust. I do think this team's a little more together than teams in the past. So, you know, in terms of bouncing back and not being down on themselves after kind of bad performances, is it something that they'll be able to overcome, which is obviously good, especially if, you know, they struggle as they did against Texas. But, yeah, I think overall, you know, I liked what I saw from them. And if Trace can continue what he was able to do against Stanford, you know, that'll be big for them. I thought Rafe Thompson was incredible all time. Long, I mean, the defense he was playing and you know, he obviously saw his offense is expanding a little more the way he can knock down a few jump shots and then, you know, picking roll and do some of those throws. But man, Race was all over the floor, and Armand Franklin, I was really impressed with him on against Stanford, guarding Zaire Williams, who struggled from the field. He's supposed to be like a top 10 draft pick in the NBA. So, you know, I think we saw a lot of good performances from some guys that they're going to really need to step up for this season.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. Joey Brunk, Al Durham, you touched on both of them. We didn't see Joey in Maui because of a back issue, and, of course, we saw Al Durham go down in what did not look good. A number of people have asked. I don't know that I've seen anything out about those injuries. You think we could see Joey Brunk soon? Any word on Al Durham? It sure didn't look good on television.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Joey, it seems to be, you know, there doesn't seem to be much of an update with him. Just the sore back. We're gonna bring him back whenever he's ready. You know, it sounded like before they went to Asheville, Archie was kind of planning to have him play in at least one of those games, and you know, maybe he just thought he didn't need him to or whatever. But it seems like he's sort of on the verge of coming back, because even against Tennessee Tech, you know, Archie was like, if this was a big game, you know, Joey probably could have played through it. So I guess that's at least a promising sign. This, you know, they're probably just being a little cautious with him. You know, this is about to be a grind of a season, so I might just be saving him. And with Al, you know, he was warming up for Stanford. You know, I knew a friend that was there, and he was told me that, you know, Al was warming up and he looked pretty good. And I think even after the game, Archie said, you know, he was sort of impressed to how much Al kind of got himself ready to play on that Wednesday for Stanford. But I think they just held him out again, just out of caution. You know, you obviously don't want, you know, two of your you know, best and productive players kind of going down long term this early in the season. So I think, you know, both are pretty cautionary. I wouldn't be surprised if Al's back for Florida State, because I think it was just kind of a roll of an ankle, even though it didn't look good on TV. You know, the fact that he was kind of out the next day and probably wanted to play is a good sign. With Joey, I wouldn't be surprised if he's held out for a few more games, but I think Al could be back for Florida State. You know, I think this week off is going to be good for them after 3 straight days of competition.
Talking IU basketball to start, we'll jump into some football here in just a moment. But I think the worst part of the Texas loss, and I know that overall I think some pretty good positives so far for this team, but Indiana was kind of haunted in that game by some of the old familiar things that have went wrong, the poor shooting, defensive breakdowns, but specifically shooting. You look at the shooting percentage in that game, it was just just terrible, just awful. And, it, you know, free throws, three-point attempts across the board, that I think brings back some bad memories as well. So when you talk about kind of wondering, IU fans wondering in the back of their mind, will this be a game, whatever game you want to choose on the schedule, where Indiana could come out and lay an egg somewhat like they did against Texas, part of that problem is it's kind of some old things coming back to haunt this team once again at the start, early part of this season.
Yeah, it's shooting is like the main concern as to why that happened. You know, they didn't shoot the ball well from three, you know, in any game, really. So that's obviously not promising going forward. But you know, they got some guys who can knock down shots, but, you know, a lot of times you'll see kind of if someone gets a wide open shot, sometimes they might not look at the basket. you know, Anthony Leal, obviously, you know, he got some good playing time against Stanford, but a lot of times, you know, he got it, and the instant thought is just to move the ball along around the perimeter. Like, he didn't look at the rim once. I mean, you know, he's supposed to be kind of one of their best shooters. You know, obviously, he's just getting acclimated, so it's not too big of a deal there, and, you know, some of his first games of play. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, I think they're so focused on we need to get the ball inside to Trace. And, you know, with Texas was big inside, big and long, and, you know, they were just cutting that off. And then, you know, you just kind of dribble handoff on the perimeter for 25 seconds of the shot clock, and things don't go well. So, yeah, I think the guards need to be a little more aggressive. I think they need to get downhill a little more. And then you can drive and kick, or you can get to the rim and try to get fouled. But you mentioned it, man. Oh, my gosh, free throw shooting has never been good. Like, every time, you know, someone goes to the line, you're like, well, at best we'll make one of two, you'd hope. But, like, it's just not good. And it hasn't been good for a few years at the charity stripe. But, I mean, yeah, the shooting is the biggest concern. And I know kind of the number one priority for this team is to go inside and pound it inside with Trace. But, you know, teams are going to double. They're going to bring doubles real fast. And when you do that, you got to have people around them to shoot. And, you know, obviously last season was not kind of molded around having shooters around him. And this season is supposed to be a little different. You go a little smaller kind of in your starting lineup and with more kind of guards around him. And, you know, they got to be able to knock down those shots. So, you know, definitely if the shooting continues to struggle, and, you know, you might see more performances like we did against Texas where just absolutely nothing falls. But even against Texas, like, they couldn't even hit it. They couldn't even make any layups, really. They missed a lot of easy ones around the rim. So, you know, hopefully those are at least cleaned up. But, yeah, the shooting, I think, is again, a concern. And, you know, it's going to be something to look for going forward. And I know it's going to frustrate a lot of fans. I know fans always talk about, you know, can we bring in the shooting coach, or do we have someone that works on shot technique and mechanics with these guys? I get so many emails from, like, fans and about just, like, how frustrated they are with shooting. This was one of my favorite ones kind of after Texas was about, Cliff Marshall obviously did a great job getting these guys great shape, getting them more muscle, and they were like, are they adding so much muscle that it's making it harder for them to shoot because they don't have, there's no, like, shot mechanic with them to adjust the shot while you put on, you know, 15, 20 pounds, and it was kind of interesting. You know, they explained it with, like, decent logic, but yeah, I mean, it's just people frustrated with the inability to knock down open shots at a consistent rate. And, you know, hopefully that fixes itself and it gets itself a little better as the season goes, because they're definitely going to need it, because, you know, teams are going to bring the double team to Trace a lot faster, and they're going to be playing around him a lot harder than they did last year.
Yeah, no question. Talking Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Let's get to some football. Really a big game for IU, a big game as far as the Big Ten Conference goes, and really nationally on the college football scene this weekend. Also, Indiana goes to very cold Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, for the game on Saturday. And a lot of things interesting about this one. I ran through a lot of them earlier in the show, but Jack Tuttle set to make his starting debut. Indiana will play their first full game without Michael Penix as the QB this weekend. And it's a Wisconsin team that we think is pretty good so far this season, but they've only, oddly enough, played three games so far this year.
Yeah, you know, we think they're pretty good. I mean, they're ranked number 18 in the country. They had, like, two big blowout wins, you know, granted over Illinois and Michigan, and Michigan's obviously having a really down year. But then they really struggled against Northwestern. You know, Northwestern's defense is really good. So is Indiana's. And I guess when you kind of look at that game, you know, you sort of hope, especially with, you know, you're not exactly sure how Jack Tuttle's going to look. You're not sure how the offense is going to look. You know, the offense did struggle a decent amount, even with Penix against Maryland. So, you know, you're going to rely on your defense a lot. You look at what Northwestern was able to do. I think they created five takeaways against that Wisconsin team. And this Indiana team, you know, they lead the Big Ten in takeaways. They lead the nation in interceptions. So you're going to hopefully hope that they're able to create some and then set their offense up nicely. But, yeah, this Wisconsin team is – I don't really know what to expect. I haven't seen much from them to know, like, what team is going to show up. I know they did get their – who was supposed to be their original starting quarterback might be available to play. And then, obviously, the other kid who had, you know, good success this season. So, you know, I guess you don't really know which quarterback's going to show up for them on Saturday either. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting game, but, you know, it's a big one for Indiana. You know, I think if you win this game, you know, you're going to show people that you keep getting more for real and more for real. You know, obviously we don't know what's going to happen with sort of the Big Ten championship picture. If Ohio State doesn't meet the requirement, you know, there's a lot of talk that might not even matter anymore. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting the last 2 weeks here to see how that shakes out. But if you're Indiana and you win this game and you win the next one, you know, it's going to be fun to see how that comes together. But it's a really big opportunity for them to kind of show what they're about. You know, without Penix, this is a good chance for them to really show that the defense is top level, and the offense, you know, hopefully the weapons around Jack Tuttle are able to kind of step up and then, you know, make things easy on him. I expect we're going to see a lot more of the kind of wildcat direct snaps that we did against Maryland to try to get that run game going. But obviously, you know, we know Wisconsin's a big physical team in the trenches, and then that might make it difficult to run the ball. But if it's going to be cold, you know, you got to run the ball. So it'll be exciting. I'm going to be there. I'm excited to see Camp Randall for the first time and see Jack Tuttle for the first time. See what he can do, see what he's made of. You know, he's a big-time quarterback coming out of high school. He was made as, like, the number four pro-style quarterback and, you know, didn't see much at Utah. Came here to Indiana where he got behind Penix and Ramsey. And, you know, now it's his time to kind of show what he's made of. And it should be a fun time, you know. And hopefully the defense, you know, that's kind of where you're going to look at for Indiana to generate some success on Saturday.
Dylan Wallace, our guest. I want to close with IU women's basketball. They had a huge win, or I should say a large margin win over Samford last night, four players in double figures. And we touched on it before the season, but now that things are underway and Indiana's 2-0 and looking pretty good here early in the year, this is a team that has a chance to make noise in the Big Ten. This is a team that some think will win the Big Ten Conference on the women's side.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. You know, this team is really impressive. You know, they obviously, you know, sort of kind of two buy-in games, and you take what you want from them. But, you know, this team, just what they have returning with Allie Pepper and Grace Burger and Jalen Penn and Mackenzie Holmes, I mean, just the players they have returning, the talent they have, the mindset that they have, I mean, this team should have a pretty special season. And they'll be right up there for the Big Ten championship. You know, Maryland and Northwestern are both very good as well. I think in the AP poll, they're 13, 14, 15. So those three are going to be kind of right up with each other all season long. And it's going to be a fun race to watch. But, you know, we're going to get the first taste of kind of how legit they are on Sunday. You know, they're going to go to Kentucky and play at Freedom Hall, I believe. Or no, that's not what it is. But, you know, they're going to play and where the women play in Kentucky. And it should be a top 25 matchup. You know, number 13 Indiana, number 11 Kentucky. And you know, obviously the rivalry when we think of Indiana Kentucky kind of, you know, is more tainted toward the men's side. But you know, this should be a really good game between both of these women's programs. And you know, it's going to be nice to kind of see where they're at in terms of against, you know, kind of top Power Five competition. And it's going to be fun. You know, it will be on ESPNU, so you know, Indiana fans haven't been able to see them the first two games because it's been on BTN Plus, so you kind of need the subscription. But you know, they'll be on ESPNU this Sunday, and I mean, hopefully a lot of people tune in to kind of watch this team because it's going to be a fun, exciting team, and you know, it's going to be a good time. And you know, this team definitely has, as you said, a chance to win the Big Ten. And you know, obviously we don't know what the NCAA tournament is going to look like, but I don't know if people can host. But because usually in the women, you know, if you're a top seed, you can host the first two rounds. But you know, they should be really running for kind of those things and those opportunities for them.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. You can read his coverage at si.com/college/Indiana. Dylan, always great to have you on Friday. We cover a number of subjects and appreciate all your insight.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break and come back with our final segment in the show this week. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join us. A little high school basketball, a little recruiting, and more coming up in the next segment in our chat with Kyle. And don't forget, high school basketball tonight will be on the air. A little different time than normal for our high school coverage. It's a varsity game only, so things are going to start a little earlier. 6:40 will be on the air with pregame coverage. Tip off at 7 o'clock. It's the Highlanders of Floyd Central playing at Castle tonight. Our first look at Floyd Central for this 2020-21 season. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of the week. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins the program. And Kyle, high school basketball is underway for the most part throughout the state of Indiana. And I try to do a reasonable job with this crazy pandemic going on, keeping people updated on games that have been postponed and what's going on with different programs across our local area. But as we get, I guess this is week two of boys games, as we conclude week two tonight and on Saturday across the state, how do you think we're doing as far as staying on task, staying on schedule, and teams and games that are being scheduled to, that are scheduled to play actually happening?
Well, it's been, we've had a couple local teams even in the last couple days have to shut down for a while, and both of them were actually in the same district, Hamilton Southeastern and Fishers. Both will be out at least, I think, HSC through Tuesday. They kind of backtracked theirs, and then Fishers, I believe, has to cancel four, or postpone slash cancel, still unknown, but four games that they're going to miss. So, have had a couple, hits and misses. Some teams who have, have had to cancel games even last week. And, I think this is probably the first really big night of basketball, first Friday night for sure of boys basketball games with the full schedule. And, as I've kind of gone through and, John Harrell's site does a great job kind of tracking these. And I think, it's been roughly, I haven't added it all up, but probably between 60 and 70% of the games have been played so far that were originally on the schedule. And some of those teams have added back games. If they got postponed, they went and played somebody else. So from that standpoint, I think it's probably been about what I thought it was going to be to this point. And it's just kind of creating some oddities where, HSE was supposed to play in this thing at Brownsburg tomorrow, a seven-game event, and they had to get out of it. And then Burbuff is going to fill in for them and play Cincinnati St. Xavier. So, it's been that sort of thing. There's been some changes, definitely, and that's not surprising, but, it's going to be, as we knew, kind of, no fans hardly in the bleachers and that sort of thing. But I think that's probably not surprising, I would say. I guess my question is, what I'm wondering as we move forward is, are we going to be able to kind of keep it on the tracks at this percentage, or is it going to get worse or better, or, what that's going to look like? So I guess that's kind of what, where are we tracking? And as a, as a state, it seems like not in a great direction necessarily, but maybe keeping fans out of the building and that sort of thing will help, keep basketball on the tracks. But a lot of teams who haven't played yet, but, hopefully this weekend some teams will be getting out there for the first time.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, there seems to be a mix of fans, at least the feedback that I get from this show or being out and about, and that's that some people are very upset that it's limited attendance at a lot of games locally. Of course, Floyd County is still allowing a certain percentage of the gymnasium, so there have been some tickets available for those games. But a lot of people, most games, I'm going down to Castle tonight for the Floyd Central game. I think if everybody uses the allotted tickets for parents, there's going to be like 100, 120 or so people in the gym. No cheerleaders or anything like that tonight. So some people don't like it. They think more people should be allowed in, space out, be safe. Other people seem to respect it and be fine listening or watching it at home, however they may. What's attendance like there? This is a topic we talk about pretty regularly for our local team. So what's the attendance been like in Indianapolis and across the state? I think it's pretty restricted for the most part, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it does depend on the county you're in and the restrictions in your county. I think the most allowed is right around 25% of your capacity. And, you know, I know a lot of, you know, I was at two games last week at Fishers and then at Warren Central. You know, Fishers had, you know, probably more fans there than Warren did. But it wasn't, you know, there wasn't very many people there. And then at Warren, it was weird because, you know, they're renovating their gym. They didn't have the game in their gym. It was in the field house, and you know, it was a good setup, and it worked out fine. But that even made it feel more like an AAU event, really, with just kind of a smattering of people there and in a field house gym. So, you know, that's been strange. And I've heard the same. You mentioned people feeling like, you know, frustrated or, you know, that this, you know, it feels like it's not really basketball season. I've definitely heard that. It's disappointing, you know, and I think we've talked about that before. It doesn't feel like it's really, really real, you know, because a lot of these places, you know, the atmosphere is kind of the part of the fun of it, and you just don't have that right now. But at the same time, most of the people I've talked to understand that. Definitely the players and coaches have been, you know, even though they are maybe disappointed that that's the case, I think they would rather have that, you know, have this than nothing. And, you know, from a fan standpoint, it's not, you know, watching it online, that's great, but it's not the same, you know, at all as being there in person. You know, I think you lose that in high school basketball maybe more than any, you know, any level of basketball, just being there in the gym and feeling what it's like. So from that standpoint, I definitely agree, but that's kind of where, you know, what's going to have to be the case if you're going to have basketball is you're just going to have to, you know, keep separated as much as possible and, you know, really just stay out of the gym if that's what the health departments are telling you to do. And it's not great. It's not perfect. And, you know, I wish it could be different. And I'm not sure that's going to change at all until the end of the season, to be honest, this current basketball season anyway. So, you know, I think the news is going to get better as far as, you know, from a nationwide and worldwide standpoint in the next few months. But I think it's going to be a while before, you know, you're able to get a bunch of people in the same gym together. I don't sense that's going to turn around in the next, from now until the end of February or into March.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, any performances jump out at you so far? I think probably registering on a statewide level, Cooper Jacoby's big 44 points with Trey Kaufman out against Columbus East back on Thanksgiving week may be the biggest as far as point total goes. But beside that, any stand out to you from our area or across the state?
Well, that's the one I was going to mention. That really popped off the page. And, you know, it's fun to see. I've always been a big fan of Cooper Jacoby and what he does as a player, and you know, not to say he's in the background because of Trey Kaufman, but you know, maybe to a certain extent he is, and maybe this shows what he can do when he is kind of the main guy. But yeah, that was really an eye popping performance that he put on there for Silver Creek, and I think that's, you know, he's capable of doing that on a nightly basis, but. You know, from guys that I've, you know, been able to see, you know, so far, I thought Warren Central, you know, they're two guys, and they're a really interesting team because, you know, they had Malik Stanley last year, who was kind of their, you know, kind of their go-to guy for sure, and their main threat on offense. And, you know, now they add Deontay Davis to that mix as a junior, and it's going to kind of be a little bit different where those two can kind of play off of each other. Davis is going to announce his college decision tomorrow, you know, basically at the onset of his junior season. So, you know, he's a guy with definitely has a lot of potential moving forward. But, you know, they have a lot of ability. I saw them play against Tech. It was kind of an up and down, you know, really, really racehorse type of a game. And thought they played pretty well. I think it's going to be a team that scores a lot of points. Moving forward. And then, you know, the game I saw too last week against Fishers and Ben Davis, you know, they have Fishers has a kid named Charlie Smith. He's a junior guard on that team. And, you know, he might not be a guy who scores 20 points a game, but he's going to fill up pretty much every category of the stat sheet for that team. And I think he's got a really good, chance to have a good season moving forward. And then they added Jeffrey Simmons back. He was hurt that first game and then came back in game two. So I think that team with Garrett Weiniger, who actually moved over from Warren Central as coach, going to be a really tough team this season moving forward.
Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. You took my next topic there. Tay Davis at Warren Central going to make his college decision, as you said, at the onset of his junior season. So Saturday night, I think 7:30, he's going to announce it on social media. Indiana's in the mix. So are a number of local programs. But you've got to wonder if Louisville isn't the favorite based on his brother. And by the way, his brother's had a nice start to the season. I know Louisville announced yesterday, last night, they are pausing things due to COVID-19, a positive test. But he's had a nice start, and I just don't hear a lot of buzz with Tay Davis selecting Indiana on Saturday night.
No, I think the family connection, the relationships there he has with Louisville, and that kind of tells you a lot about maybe what he's thinking. And he's had a chance to, not that his brother's telling him to go there, but he's had a chance to kind of follow his brother's recruitment and, go on visits, that his brother's gone on throughout the process. And, I don't think they're the exact same type of player necessarily, but, Tay's actually probably a couple inches taller and longer than DeAndre Davis, his brother. But they do have some of the similar characteristics, as potential goes. And, I think Dre Davis from, jumping in as a freshman has maybe done more than people even expected him to here these first few games of the season. And I think maybe, even moving forward, I think in the next couple of years, Tay Davis is going to be an even bigger prospect, going into his freshman season. So, I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. I think he's probably underrated when you look at the national rankings and those sorts of things. But, I think he's going to be really good at the next level. I think he's going to be good at Warren here playing for his dad the next couple of years.
No question. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. You can read his work at indystar.com/sports. Follow Kyle at Kyle Neddenrip on Twitter. Kyle, have a great weekend, and thanks for the chat. Let's hope this basketball season keeps rolling along.
Absolutely. Looking forward to being out at a game tonight. And then Brownsburg's got a big event tomorrow that should be fun to cover. So I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, most definitely. Kyle Neddenrip with us Fridays to wrap up the week. And that's going to do it for this week and this show here on the Hoosier Report. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, you can always find us as a podcast on Apple Podcasts. Search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe for free. You can get all the shows delivered to your phone or smart device. And if you would, while you're there, please leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in this radio show about IU and Southern Indiana sports. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, tune us in tonight. We've got high school basketball at 6:40 with the pregame show. 7 o'clock, Floyd Central and Castle will tip off. And we'll have the full play-by-play story from down in Newburgh, Indiana tonight. I'll be back with you Monday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.